In the name of Jesus, who comes to us in the bread and the wine for forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Amen. Amen. Recently, I performed a baptism on a baby girl. The parents brought this baby girl to me to be baptized. The mother is Lutheran, and so she was very desirous for her baby to be baptized. But the father was not Lutheran. He belonged to a non-denominational congregation which practiced believer baptism. And so he was somewhat hesitant about having his daughter be baptized. And as I shared with the parents the biblical teaching on baptism, he was still unconvinced that actually baptism imparted benefits to the baby. In fact, what he would say to me frequently was this line: "It doesn't do anything." It doesn't do anything. He just saw it as a symbolic act that had no real power that was exercised through it. He acquiesced to the baptism because he said it's kind of a neutral thing. It doesn't do any harm, but it doesn't do any good. It doesn't do anything. Today, our sermon is focused on the sacrament of the altar, which obviously is a distinct sacrament from baptism. But the same kind of skepticism and the same kind of hesitance towards any kind of benefits from the Lord's Supper is applied here, as was the case of this gentleman regarding his attitude towards baptism. We are following on these Fridays a sermon series going through the Catechism, and we are currently now in the sacrament of the altar. And the question that was just asked and answered by Martin Luther in the Small Catechism, the one that we just read. And so I want to reread that for you. What is the benefit of such eating and drinking? Luther says, "It is shown us by these words, Christ's words, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Namely, that in the sacrament, forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation are given us through these words. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation." Luther here in this catechism gives us eyes of faith to see what is actually happening in the Lord's Supper, what is actually being bestowed in the Lord's Supper, what are the benefits given to us here in this sacrament. And since this is a catechetical service and catechetical sermon, I would like to share with you an approach that I take in my own catechesis on the Lord's Supper, both to junior confirmands and to adult converts, an analogy that I use to help them to understand what God is doing through the bread and the wine. Now, I have to say from the very beginning, though, that this is an insufficient analogy to communicate the incomparable mystery of what takes place in the sacrament. But I think that it can be helpful, and I must acknowledge that the analogy is not original with me. And this is the analogy. I have here my checkbook, and of course, in the checkbook are various pieces of paper we call checks. Now, these pieces of paper are not inherently valuable at all. You might have in your hand right now the service order, a piece of paper that, as soon as this service is done with, will be discarded. There's no inherent value to it at all. But with this piece of paper, in this checkbook, when I write words upon it, when I pledge my promise upon this piece of paper, writing your name on the top line, and then pay to the order of an amount of money, let's say $3,000, because I'm good for that. I've got $3,000 in my checking account, okay? Then my pledge, my promise, attached to this piece of paper suddenly becomes very, very valuable. And as I give that to you, you would be a fool to simply take it and tear it up, discard it as having no value at all. Now, the value isn't inherently in the piece of paper. It's in the pledge, the promise, the words that I have attached to it for you. Similarly, Jesus took the bread and the wine, earthly elements, which in and of themselves are not all that valuable. Just a little snack, just a little sip, and actually not all that tasty to boot. Not all that valuable and beneficial to my nutrition, even. But Jesus now attaches his promise, his word of promise, to these visible elements, saying, "This is my body, this is my blood of the new covenant." And what Luther highlights are his words in the institution of this sacrament, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. And so it's like he takes these visible elements, almost like a check to be written on, and puts his word of promise, paid to the order of the forgiveness of sins. And it's for you. For you. Your name is written upon it as you eat and drink it. That's the benefit, he says, of such eating and drinking. It's in the words of Jesus, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. And what a great benefit that is, the forgiveness of sins. We would be a fool, just as being a fool to reject a check that's written out to you with the words of pledge and promise. We would be a fool to reject the gift that is given here in Jesus' pledge and promise of the forgiveness of sins. And he is good for his promise. He is good for his promise because he is the one who has earned forgiveness of sins for each of us. He is the one who lived the life of perfect obedience to God's will for you. He is the one who went to the cross and paid the penalty for death for you, the penalty of death for your sins. And now, through these means, with his word of promise attached, he transfers to our spiritually bankrupt accounts the remission of sin, the remittal of the debt of our sins. He transfers into our account his righteousness, his purity, his holiness, which expels our sin. This is of great benefit. This is of great value. It really does something. And even more, Luther says here that it pays rich dividends because it brings not only forgiveness of sins, but life and salvation. Because sin is what brings death, eternal death. But when sin is remitted, when sin is forgiven, we are given the gift of life, eternal life, and salvation, deliverance from eternal death and damnation. These are the wondrous gifts, the beautiful benefits that Christ promises, he pledges to us in the bread and the wine, his body and blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Several years ago, I was visiting a woman, member of my congregation, in the hospital. She was in the cancer ward in hospice care, and she was dying of cancer. And so I would regularly come to her and bring communion to her. And one day, as I was opening up my portable communion kit, she smiled and said, "Oh, thank you, Pastor. Thank you for bringing communion to me." She said, "The doctors and the nurses who care for me, I appreciate what they do, and the medicine that they bring to me to help me, I am thankful for. But I am especially thankful that you bring me communion, because I know in this I am receiving the true healing that I need, healing for eternal life." Now, this woman was not expecting to go off of hospice care, be released from the cancer ward, and be in remission of her cancer. She knew she was dying, and very shortly after this, she did die. But she demonstrated great faith. Faith in the promise and pledge of Christ attached to the bread and the wine. Faith in the benefits that Christ promises in the eating and drinking, that it would bring to her forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation forevermore. May we also share that faith as we trust the promises of Christ, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.